Thank you, Pastor Nick and Amanda. It's wonderful to have you home with us this Christmas. We're so glad that you came to help us celebrate our new sanctuary tonight. But far more than that, we're here to celebrate Jesus Christ tonight. Someone once said that celebrating Christmas without celebrating Jesus is like sitting down at a dinner table and not eating, or receiving a gift and not opening it. Tonight, I want to talk about something that's on everyone's mind, and that's giving. In just a few hours now, the gift giving is about to begin. Some of us might still have gifts to wrap. Some of us might have some gifts to assemble. Some of us might be short a gift or two because the UPS man didn't come as promised. Some families open gifts on Christmas Eve, some on Christmas morning. Some start on Christmas Eve and they're still opening gifts on Christmas morning. This last Wednesday, one of our friends came and brought a pair of wedding rings that he had bought in honor of he and his wife's 20th wedding anniversary. He wanted me to bless the rings, and he said that they give gifts every day for 12 days. Whether your family opens gifts on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning or for 12 days, the one thing that we all have in common is that when we get a gift, we open it. You don't get a gift and say, you know what, I think I'll just leave this one wrapped up. You don't say, I'll just leave it under the tree until after New Year's. And then after New Year's, put it up in the closet and say, I'll get to it someday. Nobody does that. For one thing, it's an insult to the person who thoughtfully selected a gift for you, who spent their time and money to acquire it and then presented it beautifully to you. For another thing, it's a waste of a perfectly good gift. Why would you deprive yourself the enjoyment of that gift? Why would you deprive yourself of receiving the love and thoughtfulness connected to it? Nobody gets a gift and leaves it wrapped up. And yet I find that's what many people do with the gift of Christmas itself. Christmas is the season of giving. One of the most famous Bible passages about giving is found in 2 Corinthians. St. Paul says there that God himself is a giver. He says that God has given us an indescribable gift. God has given us the gift of his only son, Jesus. Paul describes Christmas this way: for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet he became poor for our sakes, so that through his poverty, we might become rich. The gift of Christmas is that Jesus left the riches of his heavenly existence and he entered into the poverty of our earthly existence. St. John put it this way: the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Without ceasing to be God in any regard, God became a man. He became one of us. He moved into our neighborhood. If you dwell on that for just a minute, it's an extraordinary thought. The infinite, eternal God, the creator of everything, the one who is ever adored by the angels, he who lives in unapproachable light, this God put on a body of human flesh and assumed a human nature into his divine nature, and he came into our badly broken world. Had Jesus been born in an opulent palace, human existence would still be extreme poverty by heaven's standards, but Jesus was born into extreme poverty by our standards, wasn't he? He was born to a poor peasant couple in an occupied country ruled by a maniacal dictator. He was the product of an unplanned teenage pregnancy with questionable paternity, a stain that followed him his whole life. He was a refugee child who sought political asylum for a season in Egypt. He was raised in a hick town with only a minimal formal education. He was a manual laborer. Think about it, would you? When in all of eternity was God ever hungry or thirsty? When in all of eternity did God ever need his diaper changed? When did God ever shiver in the darkness of night or swelter in the heat of day? When did God ever smell of sweat? When did God ever have to learn to talk or walk or to read? When did the blessed one who brings forth bread from the earth ever have to toil for his daily bread? When was God ever weary or sore? When in all of eternity was God ever overcome with human disappointment or sorrow? When was God ever scrutinized by his own creations, judged by them, and found unworthy of human dignity? The earthly poverty of Jesus culminated in his death on the cross on our behalf. Crucifixion was a form of execution that was devised by the Assyrians and perfected by the Romans to inflict maximum human suffering. It was a form of execution so cruel that Roman citizens couldn't be punished to it. The Jews considered death by crucifixion to be a sign that the executed was cursed by God. Crucifixion was reserved for slaves, for the most vile criminals, for the most profane blasphemers. It was grotesque. It was uncouth to even mention in polite conversations. In the Roman world, crucifixion was the ultimate statement of human worthlessness. Isaiah said on the cross, Jesus had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. We hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not value him. He who was infinitely rich became utterly worthless for our sakes. And why did he do it? St. Paul says it was so that we might become rich. Not with earthly riches, but with heavenly riches. Jesus became a man, and he died on the cross to give us four gifts. The first gift is the gift of forgiveness. As you might imagine, I get a lot of funny reactions from people on the street when they find out I'm a minister. Usually I play a little game. When I meet people for the first time, I try to put off as long as I can telling them what it is I do, because once they find out I'm a pastor, the whole conversation changes. A while back ago, I went to a wake to pay my respects to the family of an elderly man who passed away quietly in his sleep. He was in his 90s. Chatting with his grandson, who's a fellow believer, we both agreed that that's the way that we would like to go. I said, I want to close my eyes one night, and when I open them next, I want to say, Jesus? A cousin was standing nearby listening in. He didn't know that I'm a pastor, so he chimed in. Yeah, I would say, oh, yeah, I can't say what he said. I thought the grandson was going to hurt himself laughing. Finally, he said to his cousin, I want to introduce you to Pastor Glenn. We all had a good laugh together, but the truth remains that Cousin Eddie was keenly aware that he was not ready to meet Jesus. It reminds me of the moment when Peter realized who Jesus was in a fishing boat, and he fell to his knees and he said, Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. What about you? If you closed your eyes tonight and the next time you opened them, Jesus was standing in front of you, what would you say? Are you ready for that? The Bible says that forgiveness is a gift that we all need. St. Paul said, there is no one righteous. No, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Isaiah said, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way. But God laid upon Jesus on the cross the iniquity of us all. David said, blessed are the one, is the one whose sins are forgiven. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against him. Jesus Christ expended everything he had, and he became poor. He endured the poverty of human existence and the ultimate poverty of the cross in order to purchase for us this gift of forgiveness. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus said, my blood is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. St. Paul said, we have redemption through his blood. That is the forgiveness of sins. This gift of forgiveness, it cleanses our guilty conscience. It removes shame and regret from us. It washes away memories that haunt us. It heals our minds. It heals our emotions. It mends broken hearts. It restores dignity and honor. Forgiveness removes the barrier of sin that alienates us from God and opens the way for our relationship to be restored to him. We didn't just design a pretty building here. We designed a building that meant to communicate theology, and the open heaven above you in this skylight is there to remind you that because of Jesus and his forgiveness, the barrier between us and God has been removed. Forgiveness makes the next gift possible, which is the gift of the Holy Spirit. St. Peter said that when our sins are forgiven, it opens the way for us to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit connects us to God the Father in a very personal way. The Holy Spirit creates a family bond between us and God. The Holy Spirit creates an inner assurance inside of us that we belong to God and that he belongs to us. He gives us an inner assurance that God is with us, guiding us, helping us, protecting us. The gift of the Holy Spirit brings joyfulness to our spirit. In fact, the Bible says that he has an effect like wine without the hangover. The Holy Spirit brings peace to our hearts. He brings confidence and hopefulness and holy optimism. He brings inner strength. When you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, depression cannot hang on to you. Anxiety cannot hang on to you. Addictions cannot hang on to you. The Holy Spirit makes supernatural experiences part of everyday life. Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." Healing miracles, prophecy, dreams, visions, they're gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also makes possible the third gift, which is the gift of the family of God. We've had a lot of loss in our family over the last couple of years. We lost my dad. We lost my nephew, who was just 25 years old. We lost Denise's mom. At the same time, I was dealing with some serious heart problems. You know, I've always been thankful for the family of God, but I want to say that I'm thankful now more than ever. Honestly, I don't know how people go through hard times without the family of God. During a very difficult moment in his life, St. Paul said that many prayers of many believers sustained him. And I found the same. I've actually felt the prayers of God's people lifting us up at times and carrying us. After my mother-in-law passed away, Pastor Nick shared the best word I've ever heard on God's peace, and it brought so much comfort to my heart. It happened in the family of God. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit not only connects us to the Father, but he connects us to one another in a special family bond. You know, for some of us, getting together on the holidays with our own family is a grin and bear experience. We just know there's going to be some drama. But getting together with the family of God is always a pleasure. Forgiveness, the Holy Spirit, the family of God, all of these assure us that we have received the best gift of all, which is the gift of eternal life. St. Paul wrote, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The Bible says that our life on earth is nothing but a breath, like a flower. It appears and blooms and it quickly fades away. Whether we have 25 years like my nephew, or 78 years like my dad and my mother-in-law, or 90-something years like the man whose wake I attended, one night our eyes will close, and when they open next, we will catch our first glimpse of eternity. The Bible says it is appointed for each one of us to die once, and after that to face God's judgment. But we don't have to live in fear of that moment. We don't have to say, "Oh, yeah, I can't say it." Jesus left the riches of his heavenly existence, and he endured the poverty of human existence, and especially the poverty of the cross, in order to purchase for us the gift of eternal life. Wish we had a moment to talk about the glories of heaven. I preach about heaven really good. You're going to have to come back for that. But suffice to say, you don't want to miss heaven. Have you ever received a big gift box, and inside the big box there's a bunch of smaller gifts? The gifts we've been talking about, they're all smaller gifts. The gift of forgiveness, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the family of God, the gift of eternal life, they all belong into a big box called the gift of salvation. Why did God become a man? It was to purchase for us through his cross the gift of salvation. But here's the thing about the gift of salvation. Until we unwrap it, until we open it, the gift isn't ours. As long as we leave it under the tree, as long as we put it up in the closet and ignore it, it isn't ours. It has been offered to us. It is within our grasp. But until we open it, we haven't received it. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And here's the thing that's so crazy to me. I am certain that every person in this room tonight is going to open every single Christmas gift that he or she receives. But sadly, I cannot say the same about the gift of salvation. Some have yet to unwrap God's gift of salvation. Some have left that gift under the tree year after year. They've put it up in the closet. They take it out. They shake the box and they feel it a little bit, and then they put it back down again. But the Bible pleads with us not to do that with the gift of salvation. The Bible pleads with us not to neglect the gift of salvation. The Bible pleads with us to open it today. How silly would it be to unwrap every other gift except the best gift, the one that's loaded with heavenly riches? And how do we unwrap the gift of salvation? Well, in 2 Corinthians, St. Paul says that we receive God's gift by giving, of course. We receive God's gift by giving ourselves to the Lord, by giving him our heart, by giving him our love, by giving him our praise, by giving him our loyalty. We receive God's gift by giving up our pride and our disobedient ways. We receive God's gift by giving up our sinful independence and giving Jesus Christ leadership over our lives. We receive God's gift by giving Jesus the place of honor that he is due in our hearts. In just a moment, we're going to conclude our service by passing a flame through the sanctuary. And then we'll get on with the food and the presents and crazy Cousin Eddie. But here's my simple question for you tonight. What have you done with the gift of God's salvation? Have you unwrapped it already? And if you haven't unwrapped it, why not? And why not unwrap it tonight, right now? If you'd like to do that, I'm going to lead you in an unwrapping prayer in just one moment. But before we do that, I want to invite you to stand together with me one last time. We're going to sing the chorus to the Christmas carol, "Oh Come, Let Us Adore Him." And then we're going to pray a prayer, and we're going to unwrap God's gift of salvation.